James Gillen. I'm your host. We've got another good show. We're going to have Gary Evans on in the back of the show, the back hour. We've got about 25 minutes to give you some updates on a few things. And, you know, a few things going on. Good old Fukushima is leaking again. It's got a major leak going on, as usual. We knew that. M2 solar flare just went off, and the solar wind's picking up. So be some changes. And Mars and Venus went conjunct. So be a little bit of loving and warring going on. I think it's moving out right now. But I think it's quite interesting. It does seem like there's a lot more warring than loving happening on the planet right now. There's a coronal hole that's geo-effective, and we just had a 7-point magnitude earthquake over in Indonesia. As far as the SETI goes, I wanted to let people know that, you know, we just put our gates up, our gates back together. We have brand new posts in. All the signs are up, and we've gone private, and it's divine under divine province, and it's basically an embassy within a province within a province. So, you know, anyway, there's various reasons why we had to do that. I don't want to get into them, but it's just due to some changes that we really needed to do and do here for our own sanity and to take care of other business. You know, you can read between the lines on that. But anyway, I think it's quite interesting. I had an owl here that was sitting there hooting right out, you know, on the tree across the way here. And so I hooted back at him, and he was sitting right in front of my window here for a while. So hopefully that's a good sign, and it means wisdom, and it's not a bad sign, which is deceiver in the Native American teachings. So, you know, usually when you, it's not a real good sign sometimes when an owl pops up on your window. I want to talk about a few other events. If you want to find out the events going on, because we have gone private, and these are private weekends, and you can find out all about it by just going to esetireservations@gmail.com. And it's all on the website. You can go to esetti.org, go to the website and get all the information there. And we'll send you a private invitation and give you all the anything that's happening here at the ranch, give you an update. And so that's the best way to get a hold of us now. Things have changed. If you just drive up, you might find a locked gate and nobody here. And because of my engagements where I'm actually going to be taken off to other places, I'm going to be at the Yelm Theater on the 19th and then doing a workshop there as well. So if you want to check that out, it's going to be on the you can check out at eSETI Reservations. There's a few other things going on too here coming up. So anyway, we're back, you know, we're allowing people to come and have a private experience here. Just go ahead and give us a ring, give us a call, and we'll set you up, you know, with the eSETI reservations @gmail.com, and we'll give you a list of the events that we're doing. I'm going to be traveling a lot, and it'll update you as where I'm going to be traveling around. But again, I'll be at the Yelm Theater, and if you shoot us an email and ask us about that, we'll give you the information on that. Or you can just go to the Yelm Theater, type in Yelm Theater, and their website will pop up, and you can find out what's happening there. But I'm going to talk a lot about what's happening, you know, lately with the shifts and the changes and all the different unseen energies flying around, and how to deal with some of these energies, being with all the fences and the fence work and the gate work and the cement work and everything else we've got going on here. If you're a real good massage therapist, give us a ring, you know, because a lot of us here have creaking and groaning backs. But anyway, it's all coming together now, and we're really looking forward to an incredible new year. And the ships are flying. We've been outside doing some sky watches, and we went out for like 10 minutes and saw about 15 ships. A lot of ships flying right now. So it's gotten really busy. I know there's the more people that are out watching these ships, the more they come and the more they interact with us. So it's very important to do our work, you know, and rise to the occasion. And, you know, if you meditate, everybody asks me, how do you connect with these ships? And I tell people the best way to do it is meditate. Get a daily meditation practice, you know, and just keep going with that. Like a friend of mine just said, Nathan just said, you know, there's a Zen practice. you know, meditate for a half an hour each day, minimum. And if you can't meditate for a half an hour, if you don't have a half an hour to meditate, then you meditate for an hour. That's an old Zen saying. So I like that one. It's kind of funny because if you're resisting doing your inner work, you know, basically you should even do more, you know, until you get rid of that resistance. And speaking of inner work, you know, again, my emails and phone is ringing off the hook. I'm just really seeing a major polarity happening between people, a lot of relationships splitting, crazy things happening. And a lot of people are not dealing too well with this fifth dimensional energy. And it's really bringing up people's fears, their childhood traumas. You know, they're running amok, they're in ego drive, and they're trying to run back into the system for security, totally ignoring their own contract with, you know, the source and their higher dimensional families and things of that nature, just putting it on disregard. And it's very sad watching this. I'm seeing this everywhere. And basically, we've got to start waking up to the fact that that this network, the world, this 3D world we're in right now is coming to an end. It's unraveling as we're speaking, and we're going to have to start moving up the ladder, you know, into 4 and 5D because we're going into a 5D world, basically. And to do that, we've got to let go of the old patterns, the old ways. You know, it just doesn't work. And I'm going to cover just a little bit. I don't have a lot of time, but so that you understand the matrix is that it's very sad. I just received two or three emails from people that, I mean, some of these women that are sending me emails are beautiful. They're drop dead gorgeous, very young, you know, and they're actually turning to drugs and all kinds of things and not eating and eating dysfunctions and totally focused, you know, obsessed with their outer appearances and obsessed with material acquisition, and everything is external. Because they've been programmed by this network, and they're trying to, you know, appease the network and the program of the network and people that are in the network. And it's a mess, folks. We got to get out of this network. We got to get out of this mess. You know, the program that's running right now is, you know, you've got to be beautiful, thin, anorexic, everything perfectly in place, wearing all the right clothes. You know, it's this Barbie mentality, you know, that's been propagated on us through programming, you know, throughout all of our lives. And the men too are doing the same thing. You know, everything is external. You know, they got to have the big car, the fancy house, and all the trappings, you know, the big dig, you know, income. And they're doing things that are totally against their soul to get that income. You know, I know people that are working for the war industry and things of that nature, and working for military agencies and other agencies. And I ask them straight up. I go, so, you know, you're in the business of controlling and manipulating people, you know, even at a higher level or a darker level, you might say, you know, your business is to spy on people, control and manipulate and even kill people. So how does that fit into universal law? You know, how does that make you a good person? And don't give me this God and country thing, because this is for the corporations. It has nothing to do with God and country. And, you know, it's just shocking to them, and they can't let go of it. They've got to pull down that check to keep their program going, you know, to keep the fancy cars and the big house and you know, all the things they need to trap the women. And the women are buying into it too, and they're trying to trap the men, and they're doing all the external things as well. But this external program is folding in on itself. You know, we have to start going internal. If you're going to make it in the 5D world that's coming, you're going to have to start developing your own personal connection to God, Spirit, Creator, whatever you want to call it. We've got to release the past. We've got to break this program, this network programming, and things have to go inner. You know, forget about all the exterior, the outer stuff. You've got to go inner, or you're not going to make it. It's that simple. You've got to move into this direction. Now I'm saying you have to. I shouldn't say you've got to. If you want to continue on this planet and where this planet is going, and match the frequencies of the Earth and where she's going in her evolution, then it's a must. You don't have the luxury of playing around with all the dramas and all the chaos and all the nonsense and all the disingenuous stuff going on. You know, we've got to start walking a path of integrity. We've got to be very clear about our choices and actions and how they affect others. We're going to have to be very clear on what kind of matrix that we're involved in, you know, what kind of a consciousness, what kind of a network. And, you know, it's time to take the right pill, folks, and get out of this program because that matrix is coming to an end. So if you're obsessed with 3D reality and everything is external and you're focusing everything on outer appearances and you're not doing your inner work, good luck to you, because this isn't going to last. It's going to come to a close. That being said, you know, it's very sad. I mean, I'm seeing these young people, some of them are like 19, 21, and they're basically anorexic. A lot of people are calling me and just saying there needs to be a total deprogramming session going on where people can wake up and look at the program that they've bought into and how it's totally set up to separate you from your soul. And if you separate people from their soul and keep them trapped in the ego and the external, then they don't even know who they are. They have no connection to spirit and they can be easily controlled and manipulated. And that's what this network is all about. It's to keep you in fear, to keep you insecure, to keep you focused on the outer, and distract you from your soul, and which your soul is connected to the source. And then all knowledge of the fact of the matter is you're these vast, higher dimensional beings. You're a multidimensional being and you're vast in nature. But if you're trapped in the matrix and you're trapped in your ego and you're trapped in fear and insecurity and you're still looking for acceptance, approval outside of yourself from people within the matrix, you know, if you're trying to become well-adjusted in a very sick society, you've missed the mark. You know, you need to step away, you know, to step away I can't remember what that saying is. It'll come to me. But anyway, you know, we're going to have to start getting out into nature a little more. We're going to have to start going inward and simplify. And we're going to have to start really paying attention because change is in the wind. It's happening, and it's happening everywhere. There's some major, major events going down. You know, I'm coming up at the 35-minute mark. When I come up to the 35-minute mark, we're going to bring on Gary Evans. And we're going to talk a lot about ancient history. We're going to talk about the feline beings, the lion beings, the fifth-dimensional beings that are more humanoid cat-like, and the sixth-dimensional ones that are more like a 12-foot-tall panther type being, and then going all the way up to the seventh dimensional ones and how they tie into ancient history. And it's very important that we start connecting to these beings because there are unseen forces out there at play right now that are very, very powerful, very strong. And we just don't have the tools to get rid of them. A lot of the old tools just aren't working right now. And so we need some new tools, and we need some seventh dimensional source tools and some beings that are like the protectors of the gods, you might say, because that's who we are. We are the forgotten gods, and we've forgotten that we are unique yet one, and there is no separation and omnipresence, and we came from the source and we'll return to the source, and out of the source we were made. So it's time to step up the plate and reclaim our divinity, drop the ego. Move into this inner awareness, the fifth dimension, and adjust to these, make the adjustments necessary to get through these changes. But I know there's so many people that are calling me and emailing me, and they're telling me stories that are just heart wrenchers, heartbreakers. And I've had my own experience as well, so I'm not immune to this program either. It's very, very sad, you know, watching, you know, where people are taking this. And how locked into their ego they've become. And, you know, and it's a very wounded ego. And it's just not going to take you through. It's not going to carry you through in the days to come. So we need to be very, very careful in the days to come about where we're taking ourselves, where we're taking our families, you know, where we're going, you know, in the days to come. because this old network, this old program, is there's no security in it. It is going to fold in on itself. And all the beings are talking about it right now. So it's kind of interesting. We have these beings coming into the ranch right now. They're seventh dimensional beings, and they are warriors. And they're just saying enough. They're saying it is finished. And they're done with this matrix. They're done with the old patriarchal system. They're done with the people that have aligned with it. And they're done with the separation game. And so those that are taking that path are going to have a major experience, you know, delivered by universal law. So they've talking a lot about universal law, and it's coming in. It's coming in hot and heavy. So there's nowhere to hide from ourselves. There's nowhere to hide from our karma. There's nowhere to hide from the reactions to our choices and actions. And the eyes are going to be opened real soon. And just about everybody's going to have a major aha and oh my God. And some people are going, thank God. And some people are saying, oh my God, what have I done? You know, so, you know, hopefully you're on the side that say, thank God, you know, this is finally coming to an end. And you've prepared for it mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and on every level, physically as well. So, you know, as Babaji said, it's time to lovingly and joyously prepare for a change on every level, because we're going into these changes, and it's going to be very intense between now and July. And it's time to start preparing for these changes and keep your eyes open. You know, it's funny. I had somebody tell me, he says, I'm not living in fear anymore, you know. And I go, you know, your decisions are made out of fear, and they're made out of the wounds and the traumas, you know, from the past, and the fear of intimacy and the fear of actually becoming vulnerable and opening your heart again. And that's what we need to do. We need to become vulnerable. We need to open our hearts to the source itself. We need to pray and ask that the God within us come forward and bring up these wounds and traumas, and know that the universe is going to be doing this on a very grand level. And there's nowhere to hide from this process. So anyway, the network is going down. You know, the old Archon network, you know, with the astral beings and the regenerate ETs, the grays and reptilians, that's coming to a close. It's all being exposed. It's going to happen exponentially. The dark hearts, you know, the gray men, the Illuminati, all these, their whole program is being exposed right now on every level. And that's part of this process. And we have to make sure that we're not aligned with or serving the beast. And we have to be very clear about who, you know, whose camp we're throwing our stuff into, because those camps, a lot of those camps are going to come to an end. And that'll be the greatest insecurity in the days to come. So anyway, without further ado, we're coming up to the end of this hour. I wish I could take on some calls. I think I might be able to take on a couple calls. I've just got maybe 2 minutes left to do this, but I'm thinking maybe I'll just skip the calls tonight and do this on another night. And because 2 minutes is just not enough time. And what we can do is I think we'll go into just talking a little bit about these shifts and changes just for a couple more minutes, and let people know that, you know, our bodies are just wigging out right now with these new frequencies coming in. And if you're feeling a lot of just joint pain, muscle pain, aches, nausea, people are getting dizzy, you know, a lot of shifts and changes. Your bodies are a change in adjusting. It's not just the chemtrails creating this. There's other things as well. You know, it's there's some great legislation coming out too to stop the chemtrails in Washington State, in my state, which is great. And you know, there's a lot of awesome things. And kudos to Clifford Stone out there. He's doing some crazy stuff out there. I guess he had 26 days in jail for standing up for us. So there's just, and Dean Clifford as well. Dean Clifford has been standing up. There's just a lot of things. I think it's Dean Clifford. Yeah. Sorry, I get Clifford Stone, the UFO guy, confused. But Dean Clifford has some amazing stories to tell. Hopefully we can get him on a show where he's actually gone toe-to-toe again with the judges and with the entire Canadian court system. And he's got a wonderful story came through and got it on. So I think we've got just I'm going to take one call, and then we're going to shift into the next. I've got Jim on line one, and just we'll have to make it short, Jim, but welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, James. Greetings. Just one quick question. You mentioned early in the show about Mars and Venus. Would you explain that, what's happening there?
Well, basically,
Mars and Venus conjunct.
Yeah, they came together, and, you know, everybody knows it's love and war, basically. So those energies, you know, aligned with the sun are kind of creating a little havoc. It's like, you know, people are, you know, it's just they're like bipolar right now until it gets through. So, you know, one minute they love you, the next minute they want to kill you, so or war on you. So
okay,
that's basically what's happening.
Well, that explains something that occurred today with someone I'm close to. How long is this conjunction period going to last?
I think it's already moving out. I'm pretty sure it's already moving out. So a lot of it is these 5D energies. It's rough. Relationships are rough, and some people are going with the energies and going with the flow, and other people are pulling right back into the ego and taking the material path, you know, and the everything exterior, you know. It's very sad because it is splitting up a lot of people, and a lot of people are going their separate ways, and it's too bad we can't all, you know, go together and be a little kind and loving to each other and you know, keep our integrity levels up. But it's just the way it is in this shift. I think some people are going to have some real hard lessons, and they're going to have to experience things that way, and other people are going to cruise a little softer through these times.
Okay. You're short on time, so that's all. That's the only thing.
Okay. Hey, well, thanks for calling in. I wish you had more time, but we've got to bring Gary on.
Sure. No problem. See you.
All right. Take care. And good luck, everybody, with this shift and these energies. And our next guest is Gary Evans, and so we're going to bring him up and enjoy the interview. Greetings. I'm your host, James Gillen. We've got another great show. We've got Gary Evans in a repeat performance here on the show, and last time we interviewed Gary, it was just amazing. He'd just gotten back from Egypt and was filling us in on some of the amazing experiences there, and we've had some incredible experiences here with some of these Egyptian beings in the ancient past that are here in the now and that are coming around and hanging out. So we've had experiences with Isis and some of the other beings that have popped in, some of the divine feminine energies, and learned a lot about Mary Magdalene, how she was actually trained in the Egyptian mystery schools and was very adept. A lot of other information has been coming through, and it seems to be validated, you know, over in Egypt. But without any further ado, I want to bring Gary in the show. But first, I want to give his website. He's got a beautiful website here. If you want to go to infinite-connections.co.uk, and that's his main website. If you want to check out some of the tours, you can go to infinite-connections.co.uk, tours-july-2013-uk-and-ireland-tour/. So anyway, those are on, you know, rather than repeat those will be on the website, and you can check those out, you know, those if you want to find out more about any of the tours and the other things he has going on. So without any further ado, I want to bring Gary on the show. Gary, are you with us?
I'm here, James. Thanks for having me on the show, and sorry for the long web link.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I think rather than repeating that again on the air, we'll just put it up on the site and people can go to it there. And we'll send it out over our email list, too, so people can know about the show and the tours coming up as well. So if you have any information on the tours, you can send those to us, and we'll shoot it out on the website. Because I know these tours are amazing compared to the some of the other tours I've been hearing about, you seem to have some pretty phenomenal experiences that manifest.
Yes, that's for sure. And that's kind of my main area of interest. And because I get to guide so many different guests around these sites, and particularly, I would say, sensitive people, through sharing experiences and talking to people about their perspectives, I would say I'm getting a greater view of the whole of how to share these experiences with more and more people, which is heartwarming. Mm-hmm. because they can be very touching, and some of the guests have said they're life-changing. And so I can't really imagine doing anything better than that, sending people home with a new perspective and inspired, and hopefully inspiring those that they touch in their circle.
I know sometimes what I'm finding out lately is that we're coming into a whole new technology. It's like a spiritual technology, and it's a more organic technology, but some of the other technologies coming out are actually measuring and filming and documenting these subtle energies. Have you been working with anything of that nature?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I went out to an almost intact stone circle on March the 21st, so the first sunrise of spring officially here. Mm-hmm. And the guy that we had with us was measuring electromagnetism, and he had a Geiger counter and a few other things connected up to his laptop. And so, yes, I think the sciences are, and our ability to measure these things are slowly catching up, but I'm still of the opinion that the human body is far more sensitive, and that's the best tool at our disposal still.
Yeah, it seems like the left brainers need a little tool with numbers on them, you know, to so they can validate, you know, what they can't feel. And it's sad, but I guess that's a step. And once they realize it is real, it is there, then they can open up to their own inner sensitivity and start having the experiences.
Well, that's it. Hopefully, it will help us bridge the gap to the people that have to see something a bit more tangible and have lost the ability to trust their own senses.
Yeah, I was wondering, I don't know if you've got a chance, but, you know, one of the transpersonal healing sessions that we do here and, you know, contacting the spiritual energies and things, if we put it up on the site, and there's a guy who came here with this technology. I can't remember the guy's name. It's Harold something, but it's called PIP Technology. And what it does is it separates the whole electromagnetic spectrum, and you can see any changes in the spectrum that come into the room. And when we're doing these sessions and hooking up with these beings of, you know, seventh dimensional beings or whatever, fifth dimensional, the whole energy would change in the room. There'd be like a tornado of golden light would come in. Everybody's bodies would pixelate out, turn white. And
By any chance,
what's that?
Was it Harry Oldfield?
Yes, that's who it is. I keep forgetting his name. Actually, I'm going to write that down so I don't forget it. Yeah,
he spoke at a conference that I helped do the promotion for in England last year. So yeah, it's very interesting, his research.
Well, I would love to get a hold of him and show him these clips and get his take on it. But you know, when the golden beings came in, the energy was gold, and this golden tornado came in, and then it descended on the people, and everybody's bodies just pixelated into a white color. When Mary's energy came in, the whole room turned pink, and this pink energy came in, and the bodies turned pink, you know, which was really – so you could actually see the interaction with the higher realms, you know, filmed right there, the interaction with the body.
Yeah, well, the Mary energies love being pink. That's how I normally see it.
Yeah. And the green, you know, when we brought in the felines, that energy was a green. It was a beautiful, healing green energy that came in, which is the next segue I'd love to get into. We're having incredible contact with these beings, and they're different levels of these beings. There's the seventh dimensional ones are similar to Sekhmet, and they're feline, and they're lion beings, actually. They're humanoid like lion beings. Uh-huh. The next level down would be more like a panther like an upright panther, about 12 feet tall. The other ones are about, some of them are about 17 feet tall. They're amazing. I guess they can form any size they want. And then the fifth dimension ones are more feline looking. They're more like a humanoid cat being, and they're all very loving, very protective. You know, they're there to kind of watch out after us. They love humanity, and I was wondering if you could shed any light on that subject.
Yeah, well, certainly Sekhmet, that most people would probably know as a goddess, because that's how we've been spoon-fed the information from Egypt. But the family that I work with, the Arwian family that live near the base of the Sphinx, who's kind of, there was Hakim, who was known as an indigenous wisdom keeper.
Yes, I've met him.
So they share a completely different perspective on what we know as the gods and goddesses. And so Sekhmet, in their view, is an aspect of nature. And that's how the pantheon sort of all works together. And I'm just trying to make a list at the moment of all the different aspects, because they seem to have an understanding of the universal laws beyond the veil. So,
well, that's what I mean, excuse me for interrupting, but that's exactly what they've been saying, that they're like the keepers of universal law, and they're also the protectors, and the higher beings are the protectors of the gods, is what they said. And it's kind of an interesting getting all this information and then finding it documented in Indian lore. You know, over in ancient India, they have all this information about these beings and and who to call on for what experience. You know, there's some pretty nasty beings out there too, that sometimes you need some pretty powerful allies to deal with.
Well, I'm a big follower of the Indian tradition, and mantras certainly tie into calling on the various aspects. And there are a lot of similarities, in my view, and a number of authors' views, between the Indian and Egyptian philosophy. And using what I learn in yoga and meditation classes as my practice in Egypt, I feel that's opened up a whole other world there to me. And that's really the philosophy that I try to share with the guests that are interested on the tours. And Sekhmet, I mean, we've just had incredible experiences with her, and it wasn't something that I would have expected to end up talking about before I went to Egypt, because it's so out there. But what I feel I should do is that when I have these strange experiences, is kind of be a reporter, because if Egypt taught me anything, it's the world's far stranger and more interesting, in my view, than many of us have been led to believe. And Sekhmet definitely seems to have a profound effect on certain people, predominantly ladies, but there's a few sensitive men, I think, that feel called in her direction. And so our kind of understanding of the Sekhmet energy, if we were to call it that, was she's kind of got the two sides. Most people know her as the kind of fierce nature or destruction. And the sort of indigenous teaching speaks of that more of the lioness that goes out to kill for her cubs. So it's the hunter side. But then the dual aspect is she's also the loving mother and the protector of her children. And I think it really depends on how you've progressed along your path as to what aspect you may encounter, we could say. Because she's not worried about dishing out tough love. Sometimes tough love is needed, particularly, for example, if we perhaps are too arrogant and think we know it all, that kind of thing. So we need to be put in line occasionally. But if you approach in with a humble nature and kind of wanting to know more, I think that's where you get the more nurturing side, because there is a statue of her at Karnak Temple, which is quite hard to get into sometimes. But I've just seen amazing things happen in that room. One lady was very, very keen to see this statue, which has got this reputation. And we finally walked into the room, and she looked at the statue and was just frozen to the spot. As soon as she locked eyes on it, she just didn't move until we had to leave the room. And I kind of understood what was happening, because my first experience was very similar. And it does seem as if something kind of comes through this statue. Somehow, you could say it's a bit like channeling through. There's a presence there, but I've always felt it was benevolent. Mm-hmm. And that's just not something that we're a lot of us are comfortable with in the West. It's too strange. But Egypt and these ancient sites in Egypt don't conform to our general understanding of reality, from my experience. So
like really, download, or yeah, it sounds like she was getting a download, and it does make sense, because stone holds energy, and stone and metal definitely will hold a frequency or an energy, and that energy would interact with whoever stands before that statue and connects to it. That they would get the download of that energy and whatever, you know, was connected to that statue.
Well, if I had to guess and really speculate on it, because it's the thing's made out of granite, and it's certainly got a lot of crystal in the statue, and from my understanding, it might be easier to come through the veil into that kind of a substance with a high vibration crystal kind of matrix.
Yeah.
That would be a wild guess, but...
And the crystals actually hold information and transmit information too, so yeah, that would make sense.
And from my experience, the first time I set eyes on this statue, I mean, I could feel a presence as soon as we walked up to the door, before they opened the door to where the statue was. Like, I was walking into a room with a real presence there, like there was something going on. And the first time I looked at the statue, I just kind of felt this beam, almost like it came out, and it was as if I was being interrogated about my life and how I've been conducting myself, we could say. Mm-hmm. What's Gary been up to? How have I been interacting with other people? And because it was so penetrating, I kind of felt like I had two options. I could kind of shut down and try not to show what I'd been up to, if I was ashamed of my actions, or I could just open up, which is the option that I chose, because I think I've made some progress recently about how I interact with others, and my intentions are good. It's not always easy to do our best with the various challenges down here. I didn't feel the need to hide anything. It's like, this is what I've been up to. Still growing and doing my best. And from that moment onwards, I've definitely felt a very strong connection to that kind of energy. And I've certainly gained insights, I would say, deep insights that help me almost on a daily basis from spending time there, particularly... insights connected to how our willpower can help to manifest our dreams and make our dreams come true, and the kind of determination to achieve our goals.
Yeah, definitely. I know I've been tested to the metal on this one. You know, it's like on every level just recently, you know, in relationship and with the courts, you know, with the county. You name it, you know, trying to hold my vision and my dream and sole purpose and why I came here. And it seems like every avenue, every test that could come did come. And luckily I'm still here, you know, I'm still standing, so I'm grateful for that, you know. And but boy, it's been intense.
Well, hopefully you come out the other side even stronger. That's the main point of challenges quite often, isn't it?
Yeah, you do. You come out stronger, and you gain the wisdom from the experience, and you move on. And You know, there's an old saying that you never know what you want until you experience a lot of little what you don't want. And, I love this one saying about, always about relationships. It's, they're not for, you know, relationships are for growth and not for happiness, you know. and if you can get happiness in there, great, you know, but there's a lot of growing as well in the relationships.
Definitely. Yeah, particularly when you're sort of working on yourself and personal development and spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. I think that we do attract people to us that we can both help each other along, because I certainly have those kind of relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, so they aren't, you know, you don't always, that old song, you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need, you know, and, yeah. And you know, there's so many things going on, it's hard to nail it down, because there's so many levels, and the healings and the experiences are happening on so many levels in so many different dimensions, and it's everything from old karma being processed to interfering energies to you name it. I wanted to get into a little bit about that, because I don't know if you've probably run across the lion beings or felines in India. I believe they call them Narsringa, or I think it's Narissa or something like that is the other name for them.
I haven't gone down the Indian route with it yet.
Okay.
It's on my, top of my list of locations to visit is Northern India and Tibet.
Yeah.
I was going to try and get out there this year, but the kind of pilgrimage to Mount Kailash I wanted to do involved being offline for like 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
And I can't do it with all of the other things I have going on, and the authors and clients I represent need me, so I've had to delay that one, but I will get back to you when I know more.
Yeah, I'd love for you to look into that more. I mean, I've researched it, and I found out that... You know, there is this energy. I just did a show on it called the Archon Network, and uh-huh. And it's like reptilians, greys, demonics, and some pretty, you know, things that go bump in the night. You know, and how they're actually controlling things. If you look at the condition of our environment and our society, and especially with all the aggression and the pain and the suffering going on, it's very clear that this network is in control, and for now, I mean, it's being dismantled as we speak. Mm-hmm. But what I ran into is at the top of this network, there's a serpentine energy that is just nasty. I mean, it is beyond nasty. It's venomous. It just has no. It just wants to create as much havoc and pain and destruction as possible, you know, and interfere. And suffering, you know, that's just its nature. It does not like humans or humanity. It's really strange. And I've run into these beings several times in my life, and I could never get rid of them. I could push them away, but they would come back and they would jump through those closest to me, and other things would happen. And finally, I got on top of these beings, and it was through the feline beings and the fifth dimensional ones referred me to the seventh dimensional ones and said, no, you need call on this guy, this group, and they will take care of business. And they did very shortly and very quickly. And then I got some information from India about these beings, and they said, oh, yeah, that there's actually a video on YouTube that's just hilarious that shows the masters all praying, you know, and all of a sudden this lion being appears and this man that's being possessed by these serpent beings is just creating havoc and throwing out sparks and flames and fire and just power run amok. And so this lion being just grows and grows and then takes him on and does him in, you know, and rips all the snakes out of him and throws him into the abyss, you know. But I go, wow, that was interesting timing, you know, for somebody to send me this video, considering, you know, some of the experiences we've been having. But
Yeah, kind of a real representation of what's been happening.
Yeah, and on a very grand scale, like this is the microcosm of the macrocosm, and what I'm seeing, you know, if enough people start, you know, doing their inner work and their healing work and their prayer work and start asking for some divine intervention and realize what's really going on and stop serving the beast, you know, we can turn this planet around. But I know your work helps people understand that there is, you know, a higher dimensionality program going on. There is help. There are benevolent beings out there, as long as a rich history of working with these beings.
Yes. Yeah, it's been quite surprising how these ancient sites have shown me various things through the veil, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Because, we've got one camp of people that can only really see the physical, and that's all they're able to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of trying to look into the practical methods that people can integrate into their lives to basically raise their vibration.
Yeah.
And then that opens up, yeah, the intuition and the higher self. And I think these sites do help people. We feel called to certain places. I'm not a subscriber to Egypt is the place for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think that most people that need Egypt kind of have a calling from a very early age, or start to feel it when they're growing on the spiritual path. But there's lots of amazing sites, and I've been going around a few in the US as well, because of course foreign travel's very expensive.
Yeah.
And so if we want to find practical ways to help people, we can't fly everybody all the way around the world, because people don't always have that money.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly my time at your ranch, I definitely was very touched by spending time with you. So I'm always keen for people to get up to see you and see what you guys are doing, because you've got a great group.
Mm-hmm.
A lovely, lovely family that you've pulled to your area. So yeah, lots of different solutions, but one of the common theme for me is spending time in like-minded company. It's very empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did feel isolated for a long time, and I meet people at conferences and on tours that feel how I used to. So it's important that we do meet in the physical, and it's very, very good for us.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is so important to surround yourself with people that do share the same ideals as you, and people of integrity and honesty, and things go right, things go smooth when you're around people that are of a higher frequency and that are very loving and compassionate and service oriented. But you know, it seems like when we shift into the ego drive, things just go downhill real fast.
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately, it only needs one person that's still kind of on the old wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and the thing about coming together is that we help each other grow. I think it's important not to lose sight of our kind, I would call it the student side.
Exactly.
Because as soon as you think you know it all, then you kind of plateau in your understanding.
Yeah, I figured it all out finally. It took me years, and I finally figured out everything. And what I found out is it all fits perfectly into the great mystery.
Yeah.
And knowing that I don't know, and it all goes into the great mystery, actually gives me the information. You know, as soon as I let go and separate myself from it, you know, get the ego out of the way, all of a sudden I go, that's why that happened. Okay, now I understand, you know.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah, the tours, they sound phenomenal. I would love to get over to Egypt one of these days. It's on my Australia and Egypt are on my bucket list, and I keep kind of running into interference and also guidance. The last time I was invited to Egypt to do a tour, to be part of a tour actually, was when everything broke out, you know, Arab Spring broke out, and it was just insane. And I was guided not to go at that time period, and it was exactly when everything just busted out. So I guess it's probably settled down there. I'm not sure. I don't know what's going on.
So that would have been February 2011.
Yeah. Was when. Yeah. Uh huh.
And I was there about 2.5 months afterwards, and I've been back another couple of times since then. And I mean, we're taking a group, and it's all the tours have been going incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tourism really has taken a big hit, because things do appear in the news from time to time. But it's, I mean, it's no different if you look at things that are happening across the world. We've all got problems in countries, but there's still the main tourist sites are well looked after, and there's guards there. So I wouldn't say Egypt has come out the other side and all is well yet. I think there's still going to be a few changes that are going to happen.
Yeah. Now, has it been more open to receptive? I know when, what's his name there, the emperor, Hawassi, what's his name? Hawassi, I can't forget.
Zahi,
yeah. When he was there, it was just ruled with an iron fist, and you couldn't even experience certain things, and, they were holding certain areas, would not let people into certain areas. It was just a real mess. Has that freed up now that he's out of the picture?
Well, they have opened up a few new sites since he was ousted, effectively.
Yeah.
And the most interesting one being the Serapeum, which is at Saqqara. Mm-hmm. And it's got these huge boxes that they would call sarcophagus, but they weigh 80 tons, and they're bigger than an SUV kind of size. And the engineering is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I do work with Chris Dunn, and he's measured some of these boxes, and the tolerances are down to the same or better than the kind of modern tolerances that we use in machining today with computers. Mm-hmm. So the question is, well, how did they do that if they're just doing it by eye? And again, the boxes...
Eye.
Yeah, a very good eye.
Yeah. A very good eye and a real sharp chisel.
Yeah. But it had a very kind of clinical feel. I wouldn't say it was particularly ornamental or ceremonial. It felt more like a kind of factory. So this is one of the sites where it doesn't really make sense, the amount of work, and how did they get these huge boxes underground into these small niches that aren't a lot bigger than the boxes. And I think they did try and remove one within the sort of last 50 to 60 years, and they couldn't get it out because the box is too similar to the size of the passageway. So that's a real treat for people to visit, and so I was honored to go there last December. And even these huge boxes, they do resonate to sound, which is interesting. They're very finely tuned acoustically. I expect the archaeologists would try to write that off as a coincidence, but way of looking at it is that that's part of the purpose of the design, and there is something going on with resonance and frequency in what they're up to.
Oh, definitely. I know in the ancient times, from my understanding, is that that was an initiation chamber, the main sarcophagus, and the main sphinx there. I mean, the main pyramid. But the people would go in there and they would lay in the sarcophagus, and they'd shut the lid on them, and they'd have a 3-day dark retreat or more, depending on who was in there, and they would just have incredible experiences. It was an initiation that they went through, and to me that makes a lot more sense than anything else.
Yeah, there's certainly a few schools of thought, but I mean, I've lost track of the amount of times I've gone into the Great Pyramid and the King's Chamber now, but it's certainly well over a dozen guiding people in there. Mm-hmm. And it is a weird place. By anyone's standards, weird.
Uh-huh. Hey, we're unfortunately, we got to get you back on again because we just scratched the surface here. But if people want to get a hold of you, give us your website really quick. And if they want to find out tours, you can just give a quick shout out on those.
Okay, so the main website is infinite-connections.co.uk. I'm on Twitter, connections_PR. You can find me on Facebook under Gary Evans Infinite Connections. So those are the best ways to connect. Mm-hmm. Got a few groups on Facebook, and just running tours. Big one coming up in July to the UK and Ireland, which I've designed for international guests that have thought about coming over here. So give a real good taste of what we've got in terms of we've got private access to Stonehenge. We spend time at Glastonbury and surrounding ancient sites. I'll show some evidence that there was also acoustic work going on in this landscape here. And then we're going to go over to Ireland, Dublin, and visit a load of sites over there, including New Grange, and go up to the Giant's Causeway and places like that. And I've tied up with an Irish author, James Swagger, who's also looking at sound and ancient sites from more of a scientific perspective. So he's going to be here.
Awesome.
Me?
Well, hey, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We'll have to get you back on again, and it's been a short one. And I know there's a lot more information we need to get out.
Definitely. Well, thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, take care.
Yeah. Cheers, James.
All right. James Gillen, your host, signing off. Have a great day.